welcome to episode 149 of Taking the Charge. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by yet again. More fun, more great basketball, as usual. More talk, more talking about the games, more talking about everything going on in European ball right now. Not just European ball, but in general. We do have obviously a little bit more focus on European basketball, but that's not a bad thing. I guess before we get into it, let's just make sure you guys know how to get a hold of us. You can catch me on Twitter is probably the easiest way. I'm at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The Facebook group is Taking the Charge Podcast. Go ahead and jump in there. We do ask to be... that you ask to join, and of course we let everybody in, but we just do want to make sure that everybody goes in and through the pearly gates, and we'll let you in. Email hinnews@gmx.de, and of course the email website is hinnews@hinnews.com. So thanks for everybody who listens to the show, and I hope you appreciate it. Hope you enjoy it. I guess talk this week is going to focus on the U20, since I kind of watched more than quite a bit of that actually. Was actually tweeting quite a bit, and kind of if you don't follow me on Twitter. I kind of discovered Vine, took quite a few videos, Vines, or whatever they're called, of the U20s, and had some fun, as people who follow me on Twitter will probably notice. I did quite a few videos, but it was fun. It was neat to go and capture the videos right away and get them up there and have people watch them. So yeah, if you want to, you can find, just go to Vine, whatever it is, and, put in Hein News, and you can see all the videos I made, from all the Vines from the under 20 European Championship. Serbia won, first time, in 7 years, deserved champions, a really, really good, solid, team. And I would say not quite as big as stars as one might think from them. Great players, a couple of really, really, really great players, but I don't have the feeling that they've been considered way up there on the stardom factor. The MVP, first of all, they obviously beat Spain. In case you don't know, I'll give you a quick rundown. They beat Spain to win the title. Both teams were undefeated, and, Spain gave them a run, but Serbia was the better team. Illimani Diop, the big Senegalese Spanish kid, got into foul trouble, and that kind of hurt their chances. Marko Gudurić, Ogun Aramaz were really the two guys that carried Serbia, and was really impressed with both of them. Gudurić ended up being MVP. Nikola Rebic actually was put on the all-tournament team. He probably numbers wise had a better tournament, but I think that Yaramas really stepped up and had some really huge games. And I wouldn't have complained at all had he been put on there instead of Rebic. We can't complain. Rebic had a pretty solid tournament, a pretty solid player. Gudurić, man, he definitely made himself some money, with having, that great of a tournament. Marko Tejic, the big guy, he missed the final with a hand injury. But I think his stock rose quite a bit. And, obviously I mentioned, Yarmas, who I like, Rada, Zagorac, had some good games, had some good actions and stuff, but, I think he was a little too emphatic, with his defense, and had in the semifinals he was ejected after two unsportsmanlike, and really could have been shown another unsportsman in the final. But a good complimentary player to Jan Davidovac as well. But really a nice, good, solid group. Didn't really make a lot of mistakes, played within themselves and like I said, won the first time in 7 years. So definitely deserved title. Spain, like I said, Diop had a really good tournament. For many people, this might have been the first time that they saw Juan Hernan Gomez, of course, the younger brother of Guillermo Willy Hernan Gomez. And impressive dude. Maybe improve a little bit his outside shooting, but he's got an inside game. Really has a good feel around the basket, blocking shots. And I think he hit probably around 28 some percent 3-pointers, but definitely showed that. For people who might not have seen him, coming out party, he was also named to the all tournament team, also deservedly so. The Spanish team, some of these guys were on the under 17 that won a medal at the under 17 World Championships a couple years ago. Agustí Sanz, Abalde, Nogués was there. Marc García had a decent tournament, not fantastic, but was pretty solid. But it was really Alberto Martín, who just flashed some fantastic passes. Alberto Abalde, and then Gomez and Diop. Those were the big guys for them. The other ones were kind of more complimentary players. Turkey, big bounce back. They were crushed in the semifinals by Serbia, but came back and had a good strong victory over France to take third place. And for five, one, two, three, four, five guys, was their second third place within 2 weeks. They had five guys that played at the under 19 World Championship, that being Berk Ergulu, Dugush Demir, Özdemir Ergulu, Ege Arar, Tolga Geçim, and Okpan Ulubey. Obviously, pretty much all those guys played pretty well. Ergulu was fantastic. Okpan Ulubey, was just doing his Okpan Ulubey thing, which is always enjoyable. And I was really impressed. Metekan Birsen, he was the same year as Shadi Osman, and everybody was kind of watching those two guys at the same time, and Osman's kind of taking the next step. Not saying that Birsen's bad, but he's still a little bit of a step behind, and still a pretty solid player. Will be a fringe national team player, I think, if he keeps working. But the guy that I really saw for the first time, I hadn't really seen him before, was Emirchan Kosut, who made the all tournament team, and heck of a first game of the tournament for him. Against Great Britain, had 11 blocks, a tournament record. And, you know, this is the guy, I don't know if you remember, but a while back, this is probably a year and a half ago, if not longer, we had Zoran Planinich on the show. And, you know, obviously whenever we have some of these guys, we want to ask about the kids. And this was the guy, again, this is like a year and a half ago. This was the guy that, Planinich said is like a young, Kevin Garnett. So, you know, flashed, quite a bit of, you know, obviously the defense was there. You know, the shot blocking ability, had, the one game that I remember, go check out the Vines. Had some jump shooting as well. Some, you know, some decent range on that. Yeah, I mean, you know, pretty decent finisher around the basket. You know, defensively is obviously the main thing. You know, good, a good solid group again. You know, continue to just absolutely love Tolga Gashim's game. And I think, you know, he's going to, I mean, you look at the his size and the things that he can do with playmaking and whatnot, just really, really impressive. France ended up losing in the third place game. So in the record books, don't even show up, which is kind of disappointing, you know, as far as the history goes, the top three teams, which for them is obviously pretty disappointing. They had a pretty good run. You know, lost to Spain in the semis, and then lost to Turkey for the in the third place game. Goshen Ulubese Yabusele, was man, especially the third place game was just fantastic. This big bodied power forward can run around a little bit. Do quite a few things, and was really, really impressed with him. Peter Cournier was sort of a jumper inside, long with some jumps. Timothy Luau was able to do quite a few things on the wing. Was impressed with him. Good drive to the basket. Unfortunately, Alex Boutte, who ended up, I guess, was probably their leading scorer, but, you know, missed the last four or five games. So I didn't really have a chance to see much of him. And Alpha Kaba, you know, he had his moments. You know, this was a team with a lot of, with some, you know, some big athletic bigs. So, you know, he fit the bill on that. You know, I think if they had had Boutier, maybe it would have been a little bit different. Their three-point shooting was pretty bad. I don't even know what they, let's see if I can find this out, you know, that kind of bit them big time. They ended up hitting 26%, and you're not going to win many games if you hit only 26%. They ended up shooting 39% for the tournament. So that's not going to get it done. So, you know, deservedly not able to beat Turkey, which I really think had a good team. It's not just the fact that I like the Turkish program. And more to come on that in a little bit. Also, more to come on France in a little bit. Some of the other players, Roland Smits had a really good tournament for Latvia. Radovan Kuril. Martin Peterek, Peterka for Czech Republic both played pretty well. Domantas Sabonis was just really a beast. He ended up leading the tournament in rebounds with 13.2. Was credited with a 28 rebound game, which would have been a record. I went back and actually watched that game looking for the highlights. And I think it was more like a 22 rebound game, and but still phenomenal. Didn't really shoot the ball as well as you'd hope. He ended up shooting 43% for the game, for the tournament, just. I think first of all, there wasn't a lot of other bigs down there to help him. He also got four almost five offensive rebounds a game, and went up quite a bit trying to get those points. And, you know, obviously some of those were his own offensive rebounds, so those were missed shots as well. And, you know, his teammates, you know, they didn't help very much, with them not shooting very well. That didn't give him any space down low. They ended up, shooting 28.6%. So giving him absolutely, Domantas Sabonis, absolutely no room down low. So if you can shoot 34%, 33, 34% as a team, you know, they're not going to be able to go down as much on Sabonis, and because you know that you have to go out and protect those other shooters, and they didn't have to, and it showed with Sabonis shooting, you know, like we said, 43%. So other things was watching the Germany game against Ukraine, the final game, and have to say, first of all, they finished 11th place. They beat Ukraine. You know, they beat Slovenia, they beat JB, lost to Lithuania, Turkey, and Spain, and then ended up beating Ukraine twice, Czechs once to go for the 11th place. I guess you know, Christian Sengfelder, who was at Hartford, you know, had the led the team in scoring with 10.4. You know, it was a pretty balanced team. You know, everybody, you know, there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more guys with 4 points to 8.2 points. You know, they only averaged 59 points a game. Played pretty decent defense, you know. Turned the ball over 17 times a game, so weren't, really an offensive threat. But, you know, the final game for them was really a fantastic showing by Daniel Meyer, 217, sorry, just giant player for Bayern Munich. And I think it's a fantastic way for him to finish this tournament, last game, and he goes 7 for 7, 15 points in 20 minutes, and now takes that and heads to Bayern, and can now you know, start focusing on the season, you know, and you know, it was a good matchup. There was a lot of more slender bigs, not smaller, but, you know, not as heavy bigs from Ukraine. So it was just a really, really good matchup for him, and was able to do a lot of really nice things. And so, you know, went out to probably about even 16 feet on the jumper on the baseline. You know, if he can do that, you know, Pezic can find some ways to use him in that manner as well. So that was pretty impressive by Daniel Meyer. Otherwise, Slovenia ended up winning the 13th place game, which was important because that gets them to stay in the Division A. 20 teams, 7 go down. So Poland, Great Britain, Russia, Croatia, Greece, Bosnia, and Bulgaria. GB was fun. Had a regular date watching their games, and with my camera waiting for with Vine to snatch highlights of Lavelle Bigby, Bigby Williams, who's at some small college in the States, and really doesn't, you know, has no right being there, should be somewhere quite a bit bigger. And I imagine that that this tournament might get him somewhere else. I think if he, I don't know what his status is, if he's looking for somewhere else or whatever, but definitely an impressive showing by Lavelle Bigby Williams. So hopefully the youngster can get up to a bigger place where more people can see him. Definitely opened my eyes there. Ended up 5th place, so 15th, so they'll go down. So I guess, yeah, in general, it was really again, you know, YouTube have all the games are on YouTube until the quarterfinals, and then the quarterfinals had the quarterfinals were on live basketball TV, and then but you know all the other games were live on demand. So impressive product again, once again, and you know, looking forward to more tournaments like this that they're all on YouTube. It's fantastic. It's an easy way to follow it and watch it. And I don't know if you guys ended up watching it, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So go, you know, if you feel like it, go ahead and take a look at, go back and watch some of the games. Some really good action in there. So I guess with that, let's move over to the interviews. The interviews, actually, I guess first I'll start with, I did a piece on Anaheim News, taking a look at the Beykoz Elite Development Center in Turkey, which is sort of the Turkish equivalent of INSEP from France, and they actually planned this quite a long time ago, and I actually wrote a piece about it quite a while ago, and it ended up and then I you know, whenever I go and watch the Turkish national team, one guy I always look for is interview partner here was Nihat Izic, who's the national youth team's technical coordinator. So he's in charge of all the youth teams, and just enjoy sitting with him and just chatting. And so figured I would get an update on the school, on the Beykoz Development Center, because it's on ice. They're waiting for some people living on the land to get off it, and so that they can start building. And and you know, this is sort of, you know, this is their big baby as far as trying to, you know, develop 14 to 18 year old talent to get them into the national teams, into the TBL clubs and whatnot. And so this is a pretty big deal. Izic, we also, you know, talk about the state of the league, talk about Kashiaka winning the title, talk about finances and stuff like that. Also talk about the under 18, which obviously starts this tomorrow, the Thursday. Also talk about them. They're going for a historic three-peat. Would be the first time that country has won three in a row since the Soviet Union, who won four in a row from 78 to 84. So here is my interview with Nihat Izic. So we'll catch you on the other side of that. We're here at the Under 19 World Championship. We're looking at the strategic plan 12 to 16 Project Powerhouse.
Yes.
Looking at it, you know, we're coming to close to the end of it. How far along do you feel that the Federation is in this plan in general? And just in general, what are your thoughts about how far along the Federation is in the strategies that are laid out in this plan?
I think that we came close to the end, you know, in this program what we had, and the product of this is this 2-3 generation, you know. Now what is I don't like is that also Federation, because of the clubs, pressure of the clubs, bring some rules in the Turkish Basketball League, you know, that 6 foreign player can play in the league, and there is not too much room for these guys, you know, to come to the level we want to bring them, and we will have for sure problem, you know, in the senior national team, with because it's not so easy to be big star without playing, you know, and taking responsibility in the clubs and in the Europe. What else?
We're here, like I said. So we're here at the 19s. Then we're in the quarterfinals. We're just before the quarterfinals. You've seen other teams. Where do you think this team, let's say talent development, results is one thing because you can have a bad day, whatever. But talent and development, where do you think you stack up against the rest of the teams here?
But that's for sure, you know, that I said that this guy has to play more and take a time more in their clubs, you know. This is one thing. Plus, second things is the competition time, you know. We couldn't make preparation to these guys, you know. We just, like all others, Serbia has same problem, you know. They are sitting on the bench, they don't play, and we cannot take them to prepare them, you know, for this competition. So I'm until now how we play, I'm not so satisfied, you know. This is not our really face, you know. This is not how we can play, but only because of that, you know, this first time Turkish national team is coming here without mountain preparation, without playing together, without preparing everything what we have to prepare, you know. We are like summer league, you know, collect the player and go play the game. And I don't believe in such kind of program. I don't believe that the guy are that much talented, and they wish, and I hope that they will produce maximum today on this game, and to beat this game and being in the first five still is in the world is something, you know, for us.
One thing mentioned in this in the strategic plan is the it's called the Baykos Elite Baykos,
yeah.
Baykos Elite Basketball Center, and the goal in here was by the end of 2013. Obviously, we don't have that. We talked off air, but why don't you give us an update on the status of that? This is the INSEP type program, yes, that you guys are planning. Maybe just give us an update on the status of that.
But you know, if you watch the federation side, we do everything, you know, to finish in 2013. But unfortunately, you know, there is some things we couldn't count on it. It's that some court stuff and the people who are living on that land, so we cannot get the land. But federation make a program, find the money, everything, and when we get that land, you know, to use, I'm sure in 8 months we can finish all the complex. And I mean, this is very, very, very important, and the government is trying to help us also to solve this problem. And I believe that we will, at least in the end of this year, we will solve that problem and start that project, because this is, for me, this is next step in the Turkish basketball. It's going to help a lot to develop it, to build a new great stars, you know, in the Turkish basketball. I hope we're gonna start that in from 2016 to maybe 2020, you know, in that new program that it will take part.
And the age groups again?
We will start. We didn't decide. We will start from maybe 13, 14 age until 18,
okay,
and then we will give them to the clubs. You know, they in that 4 years program, they must be ready to play first division like a stars. You know, for 4 years, they have to take. You know, then the clubs will finish, you know, playing them in the league in the Europe, and they will finish them together with the national teams and the senior national teams, you know, to make them really big stars.
And are they going to play in a league?
No, we will try to organize, you know, depends. Like if it's 14, they will play like a team with the other Turkish clubs team. And how they go up, then they will play, you know, maybe if they come last year in the with the 18, they should be that good, you know, to play even second division league, you know, to be preparation for them when they go to the clubs, you know, to play first league. Plus, this is in the Turkey, and plus this, they will participate in all this national competition, European Championship. So we will work two-way, you know, to make them better. But if when you have the players morning and evening in your hands, then and work on them without, you know, head idea like in the clubs. You know, every club has the players to win the game. Then we will put and try to teach them how to play basketball, force the talented player, you know, to play, not to sit on the bench.
Some of the guys then that could be, that would be then in this program are the 16s this year, the 99 generation. They're going to be playing in Kaunas in a few weeks. Turkey's never been to a U17 World Championship. How important would it be for the development of the program to have them at the U17 Worlds next year?
Yes, this is very important, you know, and that team is not a bad team. I think that we can make it that, and this is, you know, all this is plus one, you know, all this Europe, European is plus one, and when you go to world, it's plus more one, you know, so they have the chance to see the players from States, Canada, Australia, to play against them, you know, to see the way how they are playing, and, you know, to be a better player, of course. In the head, they have to, you know, to see, to compare themselves where they are with the world.
In a couple of weeks there in Volos, back here in Greece, there's going to be the 18 European Championship. The Turkey have a chance to be a historic three-peat. It hasn't been done since the Soviet Union. What would that mean to Turkey if you guys were able to win three in a row of such a prestigious tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I always think like this: if you work good and you make something what is valuable, in the end you become the successful, you know.
Be rewarded.
Yes, rewarded. So for me, it's you know, it's more the way how we are working and the player which we are taking out of this program. Then, you know, make one time, two time, three times. So if that comes, it's so excellent, but this is not our first goal, you know. This our first goal is to prepare all these players for the senior national team, and the senior national team become world champion, you know, if it's possible. Of course, before, when I was working like a coach, you know, we was close to do that, and now we start to become champion, and I hope our time is going that we will stay. It's the most important thing, you know, to stay on the top always, not only to make one medal and then four or five generation do nothing, you know. This for me is important that in all the category we are on the top, you know. Everyone now scared of us, you know. Nobody can take, okay, Turkey, we can beat them easily, you know. That's for me, I mean, very, very important.
And also to win, let's say, a medal or reach the podium at a tournament not in Turkey.
Yes, yes, but now, before it was very important, but now these guys show that it doesn't matter, you know, where they are playing, you know. The senior national team has something like that, but these guys, I believe, you know, that they don't care, you know. They just go and play. They don't think too much about that.
How important was Fenerbahce getting to the Final Four? Obviously, Efes was Anadolu Efes was right there as well. How important was it to have a Turkish team in the EuroLeague Final Four?
Yes, it's very important. It's showing that the Turkish basketball is growing, and that we can also do a lot of things, you know, even in the top level in the Europe. So especially for these young guys, it's a big moral, you know, that one club from Turkey play in the Final Four, and we have now newcomer, you know, it's much more interest. And I believe that maybe in this next program, 5-year program, even we can be the sport number one in Turkey. You know, what is not before, nobody can think about that, you know.
Thoughts about Kashaka winning the title, beating Fenerbahce, and then beating beating Banvit, and then beating Fenerbahce, and then beating Efes as well. Thoughts about them winning the title?
This is, you know, that show when you have the dream, you know, and you work to make that dream true, you know. This is what we was doing before 20 years, you know. We make a dream, you know, to be one of the high-level country in the basketball. So it's that dream is coming now to true, and we are now living that. You know, Karsiaka is they really make maximum what one team can make. You know, there was. They fight for that belief, for that they have very, very good support of the spectators and everything. And I mean, Ufuk Sarıca make really a great job, you know, with the making championships, because you know that show once again what I am always support, that it's not important how much money you spend and how much money you have the players who taking great money, you know. For me, it's, you know, that dream and that believing and that wish to do something, it's more important.
Last question. We have the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. We have the Beko German BBL, there's Lithuania, all these leagues. Efes is very big. There's a lot of money right now in Turkey, and that a lot of that money is going to Turkish basketball. Is there a plan B in case a economic, let's say, crisis or a downturn happens in Turkey, that it doesn't crash, or that the basketball doesn't suffer because of the financial crisis, you know, just because there are these huge names, and yes. If they say, well, okay, we have to pull back our sponsoring, you know, is there thoughts of all right, we don't want to concentrate on one or two, three, you know, we need to get a broader base? Is that something that you guys are looking at all, or?
Yeah, I'm thinking that spending so much money is not necessary, and that we are paying, you know, the price of this the economic situation now, good economic situation in Turkey, because everyone knows, you know, that in Turkey is a lot of money. So some clubs, it's not good for the new sponsors or no new people who wants to come to the basketball, you know, when you heard that let's say Fenerbahce has $20-30 million, you know, it's not for me. It's not necessary that much money to make the great team, and to make it. It's Karşıyaka show with the budget of 5-6 million. If you have good organization, if you work good, that you can do that. And I'm also scared, but in one hand, I always see the opportunity, you know, because all this big money, if that money go back, then what stay we have to work, you know. And I am always for the work and for the good organization, for these Turkish guys. Maybe if no money, the other will go, and this Turkish guy will get more chance to play, you know. So I mean, that can be, that B plan can be maybe better than E plan, you know.
As always, it's been a pleasure.
Okay. You know, this is another thing that I brought up when I was talking to Marshall Glickman. You know, the finances, you know, the state of Turkish League, you know, there's so much money there right now, and if there's a financial downturn there, you know, sports sponsoring could be hit pretty hard, and that might hit some of these Turkish teams pretty hard. And you know, you know, Kashiyaka is a good example. You know, so you don't need all this money to do these things. And you know, so much money is going to Fenerbahce and much more Fenerbahce than and Adula FS. But you know, they're spending so much cash, and you know, you got to bring it in. And if you're not able to bring it in later, you know, you have to be able to, you know, find some deals, find some players, some hungry players, you know, even a big successful club can find some young, hungry players and get the job done. So as always, fantastic chat with Nihat Isic. And so I'm sure I'll see him again in Volos. Speaking of Volos, coming up, this is actually an interview that I did a while ago, but was kind of saving it for the you know, closer to the U18 tournament, U18 European Championship. And actually, there's two interviews. The first one, they're actually with brothers. One of them is Kylian Tillet, the French national team player. Plays for INSEP, was named to the all tournament team at the Adidas Next Generation tournament in Madrid, which is where I did the interview. Was also the MVP of the under 16 World European Championship last summer, and will probably be one of the leading contenders for a spot on the all tournament team at the U18s this year. And his brother was the other interview. Talked to Kim Tillia, who was actually in Madrid watching his brother play first time in a while, and so chatted with him, and also chatted talked to him about possibilities of playing for the French national team. Obviously, he played at the World Cup, 2014 FIBA Basketball World Cup, but you know, now he's looking to, you know, maybe play a bigger role. So here's my interviews with first Kylian Tillet, who also talks a little bit about college in the United States, and then wrap it up with Kim Tillet. So enjoy those, and of course on the other side we'll get you again.
Kylian, we're here at the ANJT. You guys beat Rome to move to 2-1. Your thoughts about your team's performance here?
We came here played the first game against Riga, and we played a good game. We won by 15 points, and we were going to. Our objective was to do the final, and then the game against Real Madrid, we didn't play our game, and we lost by 6 points, and we are very disappointed. Now it's not finished. We hope Riga wins.
You guys are Riga fans now.
Yeah, now we're Riga fans. And yes, and today we won a collective win. All the team did a great job, and we won pretty easily against Rome.
What do you think about your performance here? I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but you've been injured a lot this year. What do you think about your performance here?
Oh, I think I did a great performance because I didn't play a lot. I needed rhythm. When I came here, I had no rhythm at all. I didn't play like for 3 or 4 months. And now I'm pretty tired. And during the game, I was tired sometimes, so it's pretty hard. But
Where do you?
Who is better player, you or your brother?
I'll ask him. Tell us about your injuries. I think you played one or two games, and you hurt your finger or something like that. Yeah. Give us a rundown on this season for you, injuries.
Yes, I had my thumb on thing.
When was that?
It was October or November.
Okay.
Then I had 1 month doing nothing.
Okay.
Then I played a game and I had another injury, stress fracture on my feet.
Of your foot. Okay.
Foot. And
how long were you out then?
What?
How long did you not play?
3 months, 4 months.
3 months. Okay.
And then I played like 3 or 4 games and injured my ankle. And now I'm here.
And when was the injury to the ankle?
Like 1 month ago.
1 month ago.
Yeah, I had three weeks of doing nothing, and then 1 week to preparing for coming here. So it was hard, but I'm okay now.
You had a lot of, you played really well last year and also last summer. How hard was it not being able to learn, you know, take what you did on the court at the European Championship and build on that? How hard was that not being able to play?
Oh, it was really hard. I wanted to show that I could do the thing I did last summer, like, all time. And I couldn't, so it was really hard mentally and really stressful. When I got back on the court, it was stressful, but now it's okay.
How good does it feel for you to be on the court now playing? And where do you think you're at? 80%, 75%, 90%?
I think I'm 90% now. I really enjoy going on the court. And now I'm okay, yeah, it's good.
College is something that you've thought about a lot. How important is that in your thought process?
Let's walk around. Okay.
What did you say?
How important is college for you?
Oh, it's really important. After my graduation in France, I want to go in college. I have some universities. I have some contacts with universities. That's my big objective, because my brothers all did the same, so I want to do the same travel they did.
Do you know when you want to start? When you want to go to college?
Next year, the next year after.
So 16, 17 would be your, 17, 18
yeah.
would be your first year there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, no.
Not this year, the next year would be 15, 16, then 16, 17.
Yeah, 16, 17.
Okay. I saw some family there. Can you let me know who's there? Your brother Kim was there?
Yeah, my brother, yeah.
Okay, and?
Then his wife.
His wife, and then your grandparents?
No, the parents of his wife.
Of his wife, and then?
And my mom.
And your mom, okay. Your brother played, obviously, plays also for a national team. How much do you talk to him about basketball?
What? How much I talk with him?
How much do you talk to him, like, yeah, about basketball?
We talk after all his games. I talk after all my games, so we talk a lot about basketball, about our shoes, about some stuff. It's fun.
And who's
it's really helpful to have a brother like him.
And who's the better player?
It's me. No, I'm kidding. Sometimes we do one-on-one, and sometimes I win, but he wins.
He's bigger. He's bigger. Yeah. What do you do better than he does?
I think shooting. Yeah, shooting threes. But he's really strong, so not many things.
I want to ask you about U18s this year. You've graduated from the 16s, you go up to 18. In that group is Spain, the Czech, and Ukraine. 2009 was the last time France won a medal at the U18s. You guys have a good team.
Yes.
With Gumbold and John and what do you think is possible for this team there?
We won a medal. I think we can have a medal. We have the team for now. We have the players now, and now we have to build a team to go there and win a medal.
What do you think you have to do?
Well, I think we have to play collectively, insane, together. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing we can do to win.
How much is volleyball part of your life and compared to basketball?
It's a big place in my life. Like my dad is the trainer of the national team of France.
Yeah.
My brother is playing in the national team, and my mom
played, I think, at the Olympics,
played,
right?
In the Dutch volleyball team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important. Yeah, I play volleyball too. So
when did you say I want to play basketball and why?
I started playing basketball and volleyball at 6 years old, and I needed to choose to do something more. I couldn't play both sports all the time, so I needed to choose. I was 13 years old, and I chose basketball because I've seen my brother play a lot, and I think he changed my mind. Yeah.
Kim changed your mind.
Yeah,
playing basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two things what you're working on. You're still so young. What do you want to do now? Being back on the court now, seeing what you can do, what do you want to do in your game?
Like individually, like shooting and stuff?
In general, what do you want to work on in your game? Better ball handling, you know, post moves, what do you want
to... Post moves, because I need to improve this, and I need to improve my physique. I'm skinny, but I can play. Okay. I think I need to improve my drive.
I'll let you go with that. Tell you, we're here at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament, where you got to see your brother play.
Yeah.
Another good game. You had a good game yesterday. You missed that one.
Yeah.
What'd you think about seeing the youngin on the court?
Yeah, it's great too.
Finally.
Yeah, because of our seasons at the same time, it's really complicated. And
his injuries.
And his injuries too. And now it was a great opportunity that he come play in Madrid. I play in Vitoria, which is a couple hours away. So I drove up last night to watch the game this morning, and it's great to see him play. And every time I see him, he's so much better every time. So I'm really happy with the progression he's making, and it's really nice to see him play.
As a professional basketball player and someone who's seen him his entire life, where do you think he's improved most in the last, let's say, since the U16 European Championship last year?
Well, I think he's a really complete player. He's improved every aspect of his game. Like today, we saw the other team did a lot of zone, so we got to see his passing skills, and he's improved his dribbling skills also, and his three-point shot. Like I said, every aspect of his game is better than last year, and then next year will be better than the year before. And I think that's a good thing to always keep progressing, even though he was injured for part of the year. It looks like he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it seeing it. So, what do you think? Maybe just talking to him. I talked to him, and he said that you talk a lot. What are the next things you think he's working on or should work on, maybe to take the next step? Of many, but
yeah. The next step. Physically, he needs to put on some weight, even though he's pretty good to play the four. I think to play professional, he needs to be stronger, maybe more aggressive. He's got a really good shot. He's got to take him. Today he took a lot of shots, which was good. But some days he's a little shy. So I think he needs to be a killer, and he's going to be unstoppable. Yeah.
As a journalist, I need confirmation. He told me that when you guys play one-on-one that he actually beats you sometimes. Is that accurate?
He lied. That's not true. That's not true. Well, up until now, I beat him. But
might not be too much longer, huh?
Well, this summer, I think I still can take him. We'll see you next summer. We'll talk next summer.
Really quick, last question, guys. I know you'll go back to the family. You were unable to play last year at the World Cup. Thoughts about where you're at? Obviously, with the Eurobasket.
I played in the World Cup last year.
You were there, but you didn't really play.
I didn't play. I was a last-minute call.
Yeah. So, with the Eurobasket being this year in France, what do you think your chances are? Where do you think you're going? What are your thoughts about Eurobasket?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I made the 24 list, and then Vincent Collet makes another
cut down
to 16 that go to training camp. So I guess we'll just see what happens. And I played in the last three training camps, and every year I showed that I can do a little more. And then I think I improved a lot this year in Vitoria, playing EuroLeague and a lot more games at the higher level. If I go to the training camp, I'll show them which parts of my game I've improved, and then see what happens.
What would it mean?
Even though the French is a pretty closed group. I'm always
and,
here.
And those guys are coming back that didn't play last year.
Yeah.
What would it mean for you to wear France on your jersey this summer if you were to get the call?
It's always up with pride, and if they call me, I will always be there, because it's something, it's like a duty for your country, and I'll always be ready for them.
All right, go back to the practice court so you can beat your brother next year.
Okay, fun stuff. Good. good dudes to talk to. And I cannot wait to watch Tillier again. You know, it was just such a fantastic all-around game. And, you know, a guy, if you think about all the time that he missed this past season, and to do the things he was able to do at the Adidas Next Generation tournament, and then just a couple weeks later, then went to the 3-on-3 World Championship, and I think they won bronze, if I'm not mistaken. But he was also selected to the all-tournament team for that. Just a super all-around game, and just can't wait to see what he's able to do. Hopefully, able to stay healthy, and so that's gonna be the show. As I mentioned a couple times, under 18 European Championship, they start on Thursday, and I am actually on my way to Volos as the day that this podcast comes out. So I will be reporting live from there. Easiest way, I don't know how much I'll be in the Facebook group, but easiest way to follow what I'm doing is obviously the website of the tournament. So FIBAEurope.com, and then just go over, check out the link. And then on Twitter, you know, I'll be posting, some thoughts and whatnot on Twitter. You know, obviously with me being at the games, I'm not going to have a chance to do as many vines. So if you enjoyed the vines, you're going to have to hope somebody else, I assume someone will, they'll be doing some vines from the tournament. All the games are live on live and on demand, FIBA Europe, on the FIBA.com, FIBA's YouTube channel, sorry, FIBA's YouTube channel. And until the, oh, I guess it's the quarterfinals of the tournament, and then those will be, I assume, on live basketball TV with commentary. But then all the placement games will be available on YouTube. So plenty of basketball to watch, and quite a few good teams. I'll be writing a column on. I'll be writing a column for Thursday for the start of it, for FIBA. And, I mean, obviously there's Turkey going for the historic three-peat. You look at Serbia, you know, they have five guys back from the U19 team that are going to want to, you know, make amends for some of the, for their ninth place finish. You know, Greece is going to be pretty solid with Charalampapopoulos and Papagiannis and some other guys. Spain, Luis Guil is the coach there, and they have Justa and a couple other solid guys. You have to think about Lithuania. They have a great starting five with Hodas, Martin. Varnas, Brutus, Sedekaris is also really good. I think those are probably, you know, obviously with Turkey, I think those are probably the big favorites. And France is loaded with Gumbold and Jean Chouaf. So just loads of talent there. Bosnia, I think, could challenge a little bit. They have quite a few. They have three or four of their leaders who were big players last year at the 18s. So they'll be kind of hungry. Germany, I think, could maybe do some things. They have some problems at point guard. But you know, you look at Isaiah Hartenstein. You look at Nicholas Kiel, you look at Richard Freudenberg, you look at Leon Kratzer, you look at Tibor Taras, and that's some pretty good talent. But, you know, their point guards are really going to have to play well, play much better than they are in order for them to really live up to the possibility, the talent level of those other guys. And with them, if they're able to do that, then they'll be okay. But if not, you know, they probably, you know, might not be too good. Croatia obviously could be really great, could have been really great, but they're not going to bring their big guns. Zizic, as far as I know, is still hurt. Slavica, I don't know why he's not here. So, you know, it's going to be tough. Ivica Subac will be there. Prolojeta, the kid over at, where is he at? He is at Real Madrid. Can't remember exactly where he's at. But, you know, he's a guy, he's a 98, who might be somebody to watch, who's going to probably have to play pretty well. So, but it should be pretty good. Montenegro have a couple of young kids who are pretty good. So, definitely lots of talent, obviously. And with that, I guess we will call it a show. Last thing, obviously, that I always have to do, have to take care of, is letting you know what you're going to be listening to. And the song is called Seeing the Future. And it is by Dexter Britton. And, of course, it is available as all the music on the show on freemusicarchive.org. So with that, enjoy the games at the Under-18 European Championship. There's also the Pan-American games, the Pan-Am games. The basketball, the men's basketball, I believe is about to start. So I can go over and watch some of that. So with that, wish you a pleasant week, and we'll catch you next week.
My name is Dario Šarić, you listen and Take It to Charge.